adventurers and friends, welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue the Extinction Curse. A recap of Session 4. We heal up and head back to the fire, where it appears a couple pixies are making everyone dance against their will. Eventually, Moonlight intimidates them into stopping, and they fly away dejected. Shortly after, an evil-looking halfling druid pops out with a giant rat and a swarm of rats. Kestrel stomps the swarm, Jeb makes quick work of the giant rat, we do our best to navigate entangling roots, and soon have the druid surrounded. She doesn't quite take anyone down before Jeb finishes her.
So the first thing we do is we loot her.
Obviously. With the halfling druid in manacles.
Oh, she probably hates that.
Tell me about the manacles.
Fucking metal manacles on a druid?
They are simple manacles, level 1.
Do they have fuzzy ones?
Manacling someone is actually a 10 to 30 second exploration activity.
Well, you stabilized her. It'd be easy enough to just say
when
that
she's unconscious.
Yeah, stabilized, and then you did it.
Yeah, isn't it like a minimum of 10 minutes or something like that if you're unconscious before you can wake up?
Yeah, it just says up to my discretion, so I mean, I'm going to say it's fine.
I'm just saying that we should have plenty of time to manacle or strip her of her gear.
The fire crackles loudly. The night air is humming with activity, but there's a dead giant rat and a bunch of dead rats just north of the fire as well. It's a little bit of a gruesome scene. You guys do search the body of your newly manticled halfling.
Manticled?
Manticled?
Manacled. Manacled? Manticled. No, yep, manacled.
Manacled.
Thank you. Yes, talking.
So what do we find on her?
On the halfling's body, you find a sickle, which is what she was carrying. She is wearing hide armor. She also has a hood that looks like the head of a giant rat. You also find a golden key. And finally, you find a staff,
which she dropped during combat.
I detect magic.
Okay, there is the presence of magic, aside from the magic that you're familiar with.
I'm going to start spellcrafting shit, or arcana checking shit.
Remember, it's 10 minutes per item.
Yes. Can anybody else do it, too? Because it'd be nice.
I would imagine...
I mean, if it's occultism...
Which you could use. When it comes to identifying the items, just use whatever of the four is your primary. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I can do Arcana. I mean, it's not very good, but
actually, Primal's nature, right? Is it bad that my occultism is lower than my nature?
I was looking at the armor. Is the armor even feeling like magic? Is there a presence of magic coming from the armor?
Calistria doesn't really grant you the powers to understand which of these items is magic. Just gives you the power to know that one of them is magic.
We set them apart.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, all right. Now we're getting specific.
That
now
is,
we're getting specific.
Oh, no, my God. That is absolutely assumed.
Yes. Yeah, who the fuck is just, like, sitting there staring at, like, the pile of...
Guys,
like,
there's something magic in there, but with it all sitting on top of each other, I don't know. Something. Well, why don't you try and hold... Oh, man, just leave it in the pile.
No, it's not a pile thing. It's a 30-foot emanation. The only thing the emanation tells you is magic, yes or no. So in order to do what you're suggesting that is obvious, is that you take each item individually, walk them 30 feet away from all of the other items, cast detect magic, see if it detects as magic. If it doesn't, go try another one.
I feel like that's
a
non-immersive way to handle it.
I understand that, but...
I pick up the armor and toss it 5 feet to my right and detect magic that way. Is it magical?
It's an emanation. It's not a cone anymore.
It's not a cone anymore.
It's not a cone?
No, it's not. That's why I keep calling it and referring to it as radar. Let's just say after 10 minutes of time, you can determine that the sickle is the magical item. Who's going to be attempting to identify it?
Moonlight gets a 21 to identify it.
After 10 minutes, Moonlight, you do identify this sickle. It is a +1 sickle.
+1 striking?
No.
Dang. So Moonlight will go over to the group and just be like, I believe this will make it easier to hit than a normal sickle.
Is it +1? Just kidding. I say we sell it for gold.
Anybody use a sickle?
No. Crickets.
I pick up my giant warhammer and say, I use this. No, it's a war axe, sorry. I want to hit something with it. Let's do it.
You know, can I... I have to do it real quick because we got to have the conversation eventually. Does a war axe count as something that a druid can't wield, or does your ancestral proficiency?
That's only armor and stuff. We don't. There is no weapon.
Only armor.
There's no weapon. Shit.
That makes it so much easier. Okay. Good.
You think I looked all the way into this character and it's about to get squashed by you saying I can't fucking use.
I like
realistically a sickle is a simple weapon. I could use it.
Hell yeah, carry around a sickle.
That's actually a really
chopped down
ironic weapon
for a tree. I mean, it's better than the dagger I have, so.
Well, there you go.
I guess I will take it.
Go for it.
Okay, so
I am gonna take the hide armor, I think. Yeah, oh fuck, it's medium.
I was gonna say, you know that's medium, right?
Pass. Never mind.
What do we do with the hide armor? You can just leave her in it, too.
Yeah, I guess we don't need to take her armor off.
You don't need
that'd
to...
That'd make this whole thing a little weird.
No, right, let's take her armor off.
Take the armor off.
I take her armor off. I take it off, so it's okay. Not weird.
Okay.
Fucking whore.
Still might be weird.
Just woman taking another woman's clothes off. I mean, that's what's weird about that.
And the rat hood is literally just... like a rat hat?
Yeah, it's a rat hat. Do you remember her art?
Yep, that's going in the fire.
You're just going to toss it right in the fire?
We can burn that, that's fine.
Yep, that's disgusting.
Alright, go ahead and...
I'll grab the small hat. Iron key.
Yeah, check that against Myron's.
Myron's. I'm going to try it on Myron's cart. Wagon. Door it thing.
It inserts and clicks easily.
Okay, I leave it unlocked and just toss the lock and the key in there. Is it like an actual lock, or is the lock built into it?
I like picturing it as like the lock built into the door.
Damn it, I was going to take the lock.
It's a nice wagon, so. What about the staff?
Eh, I don't think the staff's even worth anything, is it? Nope, price is zero.
Burn it, we toss that in the fire too.
Toss it in the fire too.
it's a branch, use it as firewood.
It'll keep us warm tonight.
Alright.
Hey, which wagon was mine?
Pick one that you didn't encounter something.
The Ringmaster's.
You just gonna take that wagon then?
I have the key to it.
I guess technically, yes he does.
Technically, that's the truth, yes. So
I will respectfully start removing Myron's stuff out of it.
Well, that took a long time.
I don't know where I'm putting it, though. I'll wait till morning. I'll wait till morning. Okay. That way people can have stuff.
It is much more respectful.
Are you staying in here tonight too then?
No, I'll stay in my regular wagon wherever the fuck that is.
Okay. Everybody else? Anybody else doing any? Let's just do a call out. Any more things to do?
Are we not ending your talking her to her tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking to her tonight still.
But yeah, let's wake her up and start asking her questions if everybody's ready.
I'm ready to like gag her if she starts trying to cast a spell.
Okay.
What are you going to use to gag her?
But she's manacled. Her sickle.
That's my sickle.
As part of
our interrogation technique, I think Moonlight will hold the sickle against her throat.
That's very dramatic.
Use her own sickle to intimidate her.
I imagine it's intimidating. Yeah.
So, are you guys doing this just right next to the fire pit?
Fucking right there where we're at.
No, I kind of like by the fire pit because it's a little bit farther from the woods where she can kind of like disappear if she does happen to manage to run away.
I can imagine Jeb drags her body over to the fire pit. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not going to put a girl on a fire.
Not in the fire pit. To the fire pit.
How are you going to wake her up?
I slap her.
I kind of figure like being dragged, she like wakes up like in the middle of being dragged like... What are you doing?
And if she didn't, I slap her.
Well, now she's awake. She sees spots. Where am I?
Like if she moves her head at all, she feels like the metal of the sickle at her throat.
What do you want?
I would ask you the same question.
I'm cleansing the land.
You were cleansing the land.
Sorry, I guess. I was cleansing the land.
What makes you think it's dirty?
I'm sorry, did you understand what he just said?
What makes you think that the land is dirty and needs to be cleansed?
Where are you from, Fauner?
Kyonan.
Then you haven't been here to see the slow decline of the Isle of Arryn.
Well, why didn't you tell us about it?
To tell you about the slow decline?
Yes, bitch.
What?
It was a decline, and it was slow.
Tell us why killing us is going to make any difference for the environment. That's not how it works.
She kind of growls at you a little bit.
The people of Aberton are blights on the land. They take its resources and they pollute the island.
Really? This small town? I can't imagine they have much of an ecological footprint.
Who are you? Who are you to say? You don't even live here. You're just some clown in a circus.
I'm a 200-year-old elf from Kyonan. My people are one with nature.
Fucking what do you God. Know?
And I'm a tree.
And that one's a druid. And that one's a tree, as it says.
That one's a tree.
Well, what are you going to do with me now?
Honestly, if the Isle of Arryn really is in trouble, we'd like to help and resolve the problem. Perhaps we can work together.
Oh, sure. A bunch of circus performers are going to help save the Isle of Arryn. Sorry, that was rude.
I mean, we kicked your ass, bitch.
Well,
we had more trouble with vipers.
That is a little offensive. I don't see how you can help. Besides, the people need to be cleansed. If we're going to actually do anything to help, then the people of Aberton need to go away or be wiped out.
You're a people of Aberton. We will wipe you out.
No, I'm not from Aberton.
God damn it, lady.
Where are you from?
Roll a diplomacy check.
13.
I'm from the Hermitage of the Blessed Lightning.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
I'm sure you don't. You're not from around here.
You just said you weren't from around here.
From Aberton? I'm from the Isle of Arryn. It is an island that is one with nature, and I am one with the island. An Aberton is a boil.
And to you, there's no way to resolve this other than, let me get this right, killing everyone.
Well, no. No. My plan was to have the rats devour your bodies and then have the people of Aberton discover your grim demise, and I would assume from there they would all just run away.
There are more holes in your plan than a Swiss cheese.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking bad, man.
I don't even know how to respond to that with.
Seems a little flimsy, yes.
What would you do if we were to let you go?
Well, we're not letting her go.
Well, I know that. I'm just asking.
I'm just saying I can't let her go.
Yeah, it's fine. No, a Calistrian absolutely would not.
I don't need to tell you what I would do if you would let me go.
Then what use are you to us? Let's make that intimidate check.
That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, damn it. Get a 10.
How could you travel with these people?
Do you have any more loot? Interrupted. I thought you were done.
No.
You have more loot? Where are your belongings at?
She looks over at Moonlight and says, how can you travel with these people? Entertaining these crude, absolutely wasteful creatures.
It's a lot better than the last place there was.
I feel like I want to know more about that.
I lived in a box?
What? A box? Who kept you in a box?
A druid.
Oh, shit.
And did we take her armor off? I yeah, pushed the sickle into her throat.
Oh, shit. her eyes go wide, and you see surprise and remorse as you drag the sickle blade across her throat, and she bleeds out in front of the fire.
I grab my manacles. Well done, Moonlight. Well done. I want my manacles back before they get bloody, though. Blood's a bitch to clean off manacles.
I think I'm ready for bed.
Quick little murder before we rest. Yeah, alright, you guys go to bed. I'm gonna go take care of a bear.
Are we gonna leave the body here?
No, I was just gonna ask, do we have any kind of animals that could dig a hole real quick?
It's not barrier. Fuck that. Can we just toss her in the stream, or should we just toss her in this fire?
We're not gonna put her in the campfire. Fire, gross.
Also, let's not poison the stream with a dead body.
We're next to some woods. Let's just go toss her back where we fought the vipers.
Hide her in the holly bush. Maybe that'll hide the scent of the dead body.
Jeb, will you take care of this body? I'm gonna go to sleep now.
So Jeb's gonna take care of the bear.
Would you know? Take care of the body.
I really don't think you should take care of the bear.
When you're done playing with the bear, come back and take care of the body.
Kestrel will go take care of the body.
No, we'll take it in the woods. Bear's gonna take care of the body.
Oh. Okay.
He's probably hungry. That's why he's in a sour mood. I don't know if that's
good practice to give like a pet.
Teach the bear to eat applings. Perfect. They look like children. It's fine.
I'm speechless, guys. I don't even know where to go from there.
We'll leave the body for now. We'll go deal with the bear, Bartholomew or whatever, and then we'll come back and take care of the body.
Bardolph.
Let's go, Jeb.
On my way.
I'll go too.
Yeah, Moonlight will go.
Oh.
Man. Whoa there, murderer.
Well, I'll go. So you guys all walk over to Bart.
I'm not gonna just leave you guys alone.
Yeah, we all.
Only imagine how much trouble you'd get in without me.
You just so killed much. A person.
She deserved it, okay?
Then you guys trek over to Bardolph's wagon.
I still love how he has his own wagon.
Bardolph's wagon is just as big as all the other wagons are. It's decent size. We're talking like 10 feet wide, 15 feet long. It has all the things, you know, the furniture, the beds, the benches, the tables, all that junk stripped out of it. So it's Bardolph's wagon without anything else. Bardolph's box, maybe? Anyways, so the door's closed, and you don't hear anything as you approach the wagon. Just the crackle of the fire pit in the distance and the night air.
So recall knowledge, previous session. What was it that they had said was wrong with the bear?
Oh, he had just injured himself last week. Everybody was worried about him because nobody had seen him tonight yet specifically. And Ellie brought it to your attention because all of the other animals were acting strange, but she hadn't had a chance to check on Bardolph.
That seems real thin. It's a real thin plot point.
For the bear?
That's real thin. It's a real thin lead. feels a little forced. It's all right. We go to check on the bear.
Say we let Jeb go first.
Yes.
I'm just going to go first. Yeah, I'm just waiting to see what you guys are going to do.
All right. Knock on the door to the bear. Hey, bear. It's your pal, Jeb.
You see the wagon shift and kind of stop. And then it starts bouncing up and down.
Guys, he's busy. He's got another bear in there. We barely even left.
Sebastian says, fuck that, and walks away. I'm not going to fuck with that bear if it's bounced around.
It has a... It's not... They're not big bounces. They're like the bear's stepping. Like it was the bear got up, and then the bear is stepping. And there's... Bardolph's wagon has like this window on the door with a curtain on the inside over it. And... The curtain swings to the side, revealing a grizzly bear, Bardolph. Jeb, I want you to give me a nature check.
25.
Bardolph almost looks crazed right now, and as soon as he pulls the curtain aside, he roars from behind the door. I'm going to have us roll for initiatives now.
I roar back.
Rawr.
Meow.
All right. So the bear roars in crazed anger, like gets down from the window. You all know that the inside entrance to Bardolph's wagon, there's no doorknob or anything in there. There's just a length of rope, knotted and well-chewed rope, that Bardolph just pulls on to open the door to swing in. Savatra, you start our combat. Let me just put it this way before you guys decide to do anything. Bardolph is a beloved member of the Circus of Wayward Wonders.
Is he looking hostile right now?
He looks crazed, yeah. You can't, like, he hasn't opened the door yet because it's not his turn, but he looks angry, which is very, very unusual for Bardolph. He's a very docile bear normally. So something's definitely wrong.
Sebastian will take a 5-foot step to stand behind Jebediah and give Jeb guidance and then cast shield.
But the bear can't open his own door, right?
That's exactly what he just described.
Yes. I know that's what you described, but it doesn't make sense.
Why the length of rope to just yank the door open.
Why would you?
Why is well chewed?
Bear able to open its own door?
Because Bardolph is a friend. Bardolph
is well-trained bear.
Very well-trained bear. And is a friend, and hold on, let me go ahead and say it again, a beloved member of the Circus of Wayward Wonders.
Who's about to eat a monk.
Hey, I'm in front of
HP.
You're way in the back, man. All right. Now it's Moonlight's turn.
And we can't see it? He dropped down?
Yeah, you don't have sight on him at the moment.
There's not much I can do.
He had to, like, stand up a little bit, go off of all fours to see through the window.
I rolled well, but I guess I hold.
Delay.
I guess it's the technical term.
Okay. Which brings us to Bardolph. You guys hear a growling coming from behind the door, but nothing happens. Nothing farther, at least. Jebediah, it's your turn.
All right, Bardolph. Cool your jets.
Talk to him through the door?
Yeah.
And Jebediah steps up on the steps and kind of gets close to the window. Go ahead and give me your wild empathy check.
Fuck, I'll walk in there myself.
All right.
Don't open the door.
Zero.
Oh, oh my.
Well, I guess we're fighting Bardolph, guys.
he stops growling to listen to you, try to calm him down. But as soon as you finish talking, he starts growling even more and will decide to reinsert himself into initiative right after Jebediah.
For those that don't know, critical failure on a make an impression decreases the creature's value, with friendship value.
If he was unfriendly before, he's straight up hostile now. Bardolph uses his first action to pull open his wagon door. He uses his second action to... Bardolph is going to shove Jeb. Jebediah, this is versus your fortitude DC. And Bardolph gets an 18 on his athletics check.
Hit me up, foo.
Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Bardolph is going to shove you 5 feet back, and he's going to choose to follow with you. So Bardolph is kind of halfway in the door here. And then he is going to swipe at you with a claw attack. It gets an 11 to hit. Bardolph swings high. It goes right over Jebediah's head. It is Kestrel's turn.
Moonlight would like to jump in.
Moonlight inserts herself into initiative right after Bardolph.
Themselves,
what'd I say? Himself?
Herself.
Shit.
You insensitive fucking boomer.
Okay, Moonlight is going to first step away from the bear, and then I'm going to cast Daze on Mr. Bardolph.
Daze is in the Bardolph. Bardolph gets a 14 to save against Daze.
Bardolph fails. He takes 4 non-lethal mental damage. If he wasn't confused before, he is now.
What the fuck is happening? It is Kestrel's turn.
Keita, I need a ruling. I just read through non-lethal attacks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to say anything about spells.
But the dazed spell has the non-lethal trait.
That's true. I think he means, can he turn his spells into non-lethal?
Nah, I'm going to say no on that one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah, I don't think, like, Ray of Frost, you can't just be like, I'm going to take a minus two.
Yeah, I'm going to take a minus two. I'm going to Ray of Frost him non-lethally. That's what I wanted to do. I am really scared of this bear sitting at 1 HP, but it's for the greater good, I guess. If I were to move up just to the west of Jeb, would I be able to hit Bardolph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Bardolph is two legs outside the wagon, two legs still in the wagon, and he's on his way out.
Well, Kestrel will move up, and we'll hit that flurry of blows up. Non-lethal, of course.
I feel like you're going to kill yourself.
Probably. I get a 20 to hit total.
That hits.
Two non-lethal damage.
All right.
Attack number two from Flurry. 22 to hit even with it.
22 does hit.
All right. So that's going to be an additional two non-lethal damage.
Boy, and flip-floppy on your damage.
Yep. For my final action, I hope he doesn't have a reaction. I move away several feet.
Bardolph uses his attack of opportunity. No, he doesn't have that.
Thank goodness. Done.
All right. That was spring attack if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
Built right into the system.
Two hits and four total damage.
All right, then after Kestrel, we are now at the top of round two with Savatri.
Touch spells are automatic now, or do I still make a check of, or attack of some sort?
You don't make an attack. It's just they have a save. They have, you know, okay. A save, or it'll always say in the spell what kind of roll you have to make.
Does that go towards my attack penalty?
Depends on if the spell that you're talking about has the attack trait or not.
Enchantment, mental, non-lethal.
So no, it would not count.
I am going to use my focus spell on it. Savor the Sting.
What does Savor the Sting do?
Doesn't matter.
Bardolph rolls a 20 on his will save on the die. That's a 28 total critical success. So I guess we'll talk about that focus spell another day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I step 5 feet behind Jebediah and use my third action to try to trip Bardolph.
Oh, all right. Go ahead and make that roll.
I roll in that one.
Yeah, you did.
Crack just the whip move on. Just
I have to say that's the most critically unsuccessful round ever.
He crits my save, and I critically fail my trip.
Yep.
Well done, don't you have to drop your weapon or fall prone?
Oh, there's something. I don't know if it's dropped.
Isn't that the trip? Trait is you can drop it instead of falling prone or something like that?
Yeah. If you critically fail a check to trip using the weapon, you can drop the weapon to take the effects of a failure instead of a critical failure. Because the critical failure is you lose your balance and fall and land prone. So yes, you can just drop your whip, because what you do is you crack the whip out and tangle it around Bardolph's front leg, and he immediately rips, like pulls. And if you don't let go, it's going to pull you to the ground.
I hold on.
You hold on. All right. Then Savatri falls prone, hits the dirt, and the whip loosens around from Bardolph's front leg, and you retain your grip on the whip. All right, Jebediah, you're up.
I'm going to kind of get closer. I know he's like right in front of me, but... And I use some of my druid powers, and I heal him.
Ah. You going to use the heal spell?
Yeah. Well, okay. Heal animal.
Heal animal.
We really don't even need to roll the hit points. I'll just heal him. I mean, we can.
Well, how much does... tell us about that. I want to know just for my own sake for the future.
It's heal, but to animal.
Oh, it's just heal except for animals. Nice. Okay. For one action, two action, three?
We'll do two. Oh, that's the other thing. It only can go to two.
Oh, you can't take it to three. So one action, two action, heal.
Yeah, we'll just do it two and...
Nice.
I'll use all my animal training to be as passive as I can be while I stand in front of him as he just shoved my ass.
Jebediah reaches up, and his wounds so far have come from just Kestrel coming up and face punching him a couple of times, and then him getting a headache, right, from the daze. Jeb reaches up and casts the spell. The light comes from his hands and envelops Bardolph's head. And Bardolph looks and he blinks in confusion for a second. And then he goes and he sits down on his turn. And he goes...
He starts purring?
He's Chewbacca.
Is he just Wookiee?
I did just Wookiee it. I didn't know what else to... I'm trying to figure out, like, what kind of sound does a placated bear make? And I just went to Wookiee, apparently.
Works for me.
Yeah, he sits down, his two hind legs kind of splay out in front of him, and his two front legs just kind of, like, sag in between, and he puts his head down. He kind of, like, he puts his head up against Jeb's chest, like the top of his head. This is seems to be an apologetic gesture.
I guess he's better.
The large bear is nuzzling you.
Well done, Jeb. You did it right, Druid.
Heck yeah. I start petting him.
Who's a good bear? Yeah,
he's a good bear. I get him behind the ear and he starts thumping his leg. Looking over his, like, camp. I mean, his wake. Like, is there something that, like, poisoned him? Or, like, was he just in a foul mood because he hurt himself?
I would give a knowledge Circus of Wayward Wonders check. Jebediah, he doesn't really get angry. You don't think he's cranky because he hurt himself?
Oh, is the druid.
If anything, he's a huge fucking whiner when he's injured.
It was the halfling druid.
The halfling druid.
Dun, dun, dun.
But Bardolph kind of, like, he stands up and he lumbers back into the wagon. And he kind of puts his paw out and does a come here motion to Jeb. And he sits it down in the back of the wagon.
All right, I'll go back in there.
You're going in there with the bear?
Yeah. Jeb walks back into the wagon. And the wagon is super, like I said, really simple. There are a couple of things hanging in here. This used to be the Great Fortunato's wagon, actually. So there's some faded circus posters hanging on the wall of the Great Fortunato and Bardolph. There's a dream catcher that's hanging on the wall in here, and he kind of bats at it with his claw, and he looks at you again, Jeb, and he bats at it again.
Does it look like magic? I would know. Dream catcher? Is it detect magic?
There's magic in the wagon.
I throw it out the wagon. Detect magic.
Bardolph's offering you an apology gift and you throw it out of his wagon.
I thought it was, like, the thing causing the problem.
Honestly, that's where I went to. I thought it was, like, this dream catcher is giving him nightmares or something like that.
No. Again, knowledge, Circus of Wayward Wonders, that's something that the Great Fortunato kept in this wagon.
I don't do that. I'm not an asshole. Fuck you!
Totally read that wrong.
But that's why I went in there. I wasn't seeing anything that I think, like, he's a bear. He was probably not smart enough to, like, see something that might have caused issues.
No, he's just trying to give you a thank you for bringing me to my senses gift.
I accept with gratitude.
Bardolph kind of bows his head in a dramatic fashion, puts his paws together and bows.
See the Kung Fu Panda now?
Yeah, he just does that. And then he lays down and turns his head away from the door. He looks like he's curling up to go to bed now.
Tells you to close the door on your way out.
Can I suggest to Jeb, when we're out of earshot of the bear, that in the strongest possible terms, can we make it so the bear can't open his own cage?
You don't like those ideas?
I don't just think for the safety it should be of the a people. Cage.
What if there's a fire, David? A fire happens, the bear needs to get out.
You just gave that bear a death sentence. Poor or Bard.
People are going to be coming to come see Rudolph, and they're going...
Bardolph!
Bardolph. And they're going to see him open his door, and they're going to freak out.
Fires.
Moonlight is not happy about the thought of caging the bear.
That's fair.
Kestrel's like, am I the only one that's uncomfortable with this? Anyone?
Yes. And we're all like, Yep.
Yeah. Fuck it then.
All right. Everybody else is in a wagon, but you're in a tent.
I am, yeah. I guess I didn't realize that I'd get a wagon. The one goddamn campaign where I didn't buy a wagon.
Because it was given to you, not because you didn't want a wagon.
Now I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to get myself a wagon.
I will, for purposes of the circus camp map, because we're going to use this probably pretty frequently, go ahead and pick your wagon from the list that wasn't, or from the lot here, that wasn't a wagon that you already explored and that we know belongs.
I feel like there's not enough if each of us get our own wagon.
Yeah, the only one that I know belongs to somebody is the ringleader, Myron's, which Savatry has claimed, and Bardal's.
The green wagon at the south is the Kumbali family's wagon. That's it.
Well, aren't there just tons of other people in the circus, though?
Yeah, but people would do more than one person per wagon.
Whatever. I'm sticking with my tent.
I'm not sure Moonlight sleeps in a wagon.
I feel like you can move your tent closer to me, at least, now, David.
Yeah, that works. I'll have my tent next to Savatry's wagon.
So Savatry is staying in Myron's wagon for the night?
Not this night, but moving forward.
Okay. So then let me just go ahead and just kind of set things out here for you. As Jebediah closes the wagon door to Bardolph's wagon, with a dream catcher in his hands, you hear the sound of crickets in the night and the fire pit crackling in the background.
And now we can go to bed and rest up and heal up and level up.
It's up to you guys.
That's what I'm doing, man.
All right, then get everybody. Let's go ahead and just give me your evening routine then.
And at this point, how late is it?
Yeah, it's got to be late.
We had our show, which was in the evening, and it's then we really talked to a bunch late. Of people. It's got to be really fucking late.
Yeah,
I think at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. at this point.
At least. Yeah, I don't think there's a ritual. There's just go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, if it's okay, I think Moonlight would have, a spot, under the trees near the edge of camp.
Yeah, you don't have a bedroll, I can imagine. You just kind of, sink your roots into the ground when you rest or something like that.
Yeah, kind of.
I like that. Okay. All right. Hey! You guys are level 2! Congratulations.
Yay.
To have it all happen in, a 4-hour time span, that was really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that was really rough on our characters.
Yeah, that's one hell of an inciting incident. Not to mention that you guys found who is responsible almost immediately. She showed herself to you and tried to kill you.
Yeah, she had a very poor plan, it seemed.
She didn't expect there to be 4 competent adventurers in the Circus of Wayward Wonders, but you guys were quick to respond. And effective.
Hey, would there be chance, or by chance, be an extra set of leather armor at the circus?
Not that wouldn't be owned by somebody. Sure, Aberton has something like that at the general store. That's a very common, village item you think you could find.
I want to hit something with a war axe.
We'll get there.
Is that a Pokemon? Sounds like a Pokemon.
War axe?
Yeah.
Lorax. Wait, no.
Lorax. That's Dr. Seuss. Never
mind. Lorax.
There's War Turtle. That is supposed to be
Lorax. Lorax.
So let's talk.
Lorax.
Let's talk about what.
Hand axe.
Hand axe is evolving. Oh no.
War axe.
This is indeed my final form.
Chainsaw.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about your guys' level real quick. I'm just going to start with David. What'd you do with level 2?
Very little. Took a level in Monk. Get Stunning Fist, which is pretty OP here in Pathfinder 2nd Edition. I'm sure we'll come into it naturally in combat. And I took Battle Medicine. And that is it.
Desna prays battle medicine.
Caden Kalian, please.
Sorry. I'm going to switch over my thought process from Fall of Plaguestone. Well then, Jebediah, what was new with level 2?
Fighter dedication feat, allowing me to wield my Dwarven War Axe as well as natural medicine for tending to wounds using the nature skill, I should say.
So this is actually a pretty big level for you then.
Yeah, I get my weapon.
Big deal. All right.
It's like three things needed to get this weapon on a druid, and I did it.
Well, then how about Moonlight?
So Moonlight took Rogue Dedication as their feat, and what that got me was I get Thievery automatically from it, and then I got Deception also. So that's from taking the Rogue Dedication. Then I also got a skill feat from the Rogue Dedication. With the Rogue Dedication, I took Quick Coercion. So I can coerce in one round instead of 1 minute.
Ah, so yeah. We are going to run across that. That's a very handy skill feat.
At some point, I'll probably take Quick Impression also, but I'm leaning more towards Intimidate right now. So I took Coercion. And then, so that was with just the rogue stuff. And then I also got a regular skill feat, which I took Intimidating Glare, which means I can use Intimidation without actually speaking, which means I no longer get a -4 against creatures and things that do not speak my language.
That's one scary tree.
That is one scary, tiny tree.
It's that aberrant bloodline.
Yeah, I'm really playing into that. Aberrant. Have we looked that up yet?
I don't know.
I have not.
Aberrant is what I go with.
I think I'd always said aberrant.
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 Yeah. That's what I was saying.
That's David, yeah. It's all aberrant.
Right. Well, there we are. Learned something new.
There you go. I guess I'm playing up the aberrant. Aberrant. Aberrant bloodline.
That's good.
Is there like an
anathema?
We need to have like anathema.
Anathema.
Do we need to have like a word of the day? Fucking
word of the day.
That's this fucking bestiary.
Yes.
Bestiary.
I'm still saying bestiary. Bestiary.
This week's episode brought to you by Aberrant. Aberrant. So I can't say it. Yeah. Oh, and then I also got. Fourth casting of my first level spells and a new spell, which I'm not going to tell you about.
Oh, you're going to tell me.
I like it.
You don't have to tell me. I can just look.
You're
anyway.
Supposed to know until I do it.
Okay, all right. I won't. Promise.
You already did it, didn't you?
Basically? No, I didn't. I just really want to. It's hard. It's hard to not do it.
That's Moonlight.
All right, then after Moonlight, Savatri.
I did a thing and took Rogue Dedication. Just like Swanee. So I got Thievery and Stealth. I took Battle Medicine just like David. I basically did the same shit everybody else did.
You guys really felt not being able to do Battle Medicine. The night is, it's late. It's really late. It's like 2 a.m. You guys have been up all night going from wagon to wagon, fighting this crazy halfling druid lady, slitting her throat in front of the fireplace. It was a crazy, crazy night. By the time you all go to bed, it's easy to fall asleep. The scene pulls back and we see Moonlight in front of us, except for Moonlight's bark is much healthier, a lighter brown tone. Moonlight's almond eyes are no longer onyx black, they're milky white. All of a sudden, the vegetation, the grass beneath them, starts growing into their roots and weighing them down. And there's green and vines all over. And suddenly, it's over Moonlight's head, and it's starting to shut out the light that's coming from the moon. And it goes dark. Kestrel, you're at a bar somewhere. Who knows? A lot of taverns look alike. You're by yourself, and it's just you and one person. Across the bar from you is the bartender. It's weird, though. You can't really figure it out. You take another drink from your tankard. Maybe you'll find an answer after thinking on it for a moment. There's something odd about this bartender as it's polishing its glass. He looks over at you, and he says,
"Well, friend, tell me your secret."
I have very few secrets, sir.
I know you know the one. And suddenly, the bartender's face, you realize what's been odd about it. the bartender's face is entirely black. He doesn't have any facial features, no mouth, no nose, no eyes, sort of no eyes. There's one spot where his left eye would be that is a star, like a bright light shining through a hole in a black mask that is otherwise featureless. And the bar goes dark, and suddenly it's just you sitting on a stool by yourself with a tankard in your hand. Savatri, you're sitting in a boat, and in the boat is this really loud snoring sound. Yeah, that's gotta be Kestrel again. He's a loud sleeper. You're having a hard time going to sleep, so you stand up and you look to the hole in the ship, looking out onto the shoreline. You never imagined that you would be taking a longboat ride into a complete unknown adventure with a man that you've known for, granted, years, but not except for sporadic encounters. And as you're looking into the horizon, the shore seems to be getting really distant. The shore is getting really far away. Before you know it, it's a pinprick on the horizon, and you're surrounded by water. Ocean, stormy ocean water, and the boat that you're on is heaving, and Kestrel's just fucking snoring. God, how does he put up with that? And you look into the distance, you see the moon. The moon is odd. It's shaped in this kind of a almond shape, and it's bright and it's white. From the top of the moon, this inky, almost like curtain starts falling over the moon, and it all goes dark. Moonlight, you're looking up, and above you, you see a face. It's obscured in fog. You know what it is. You know who it is. And they have a dropper, and they're holding it just above you. It's massive. It's got to be 20 feet tall, and it's getting closer. And this dark, black, writhing liquid starts beating at the bottom of the dropper, and it drops down, and it hits your milky white eyes and covers your body. It spreads like a virus, and you're all black, and you scream into the air. Jeb, you hear a scream in the night, and you wake up. Turtle's with you, and there's sunlight streaming into your wagon. You're pretty sure you heard Moonlight scream just now.
All right, I go back to bed. It's pretty normal. Unless she's got PTSD, man.
Jeb, when you kind of sit up in bed and Turtle purrs, you think back. You had the weirdest dream. Everything that happened to Moonlight that I just described, you dreamed that as well. Good morning. Day after a successful performance. Moonlight, it was weird. It was a weird dream. But you're awake and the sunlight is shining on your face.
Even with the sunlight shining, Moonlight kind of gives out a shiver.
I want you guys just to give me, from your character's perspective, it's just that my whole goal here is to give you guys a little bit of perspective about what just fucking happened last night. Tell me what each of you is thinking individually. I want to know where your characters are at.
This weird dream, or
the whole thing, the performance, the interruptions in the performance, the crazy halfling druid trying to kill you, the nutso dreams, all of it. I just want to hear your character's thoughts on all of it.
Kestrel is a type of person, or at least strives to be a type of person, who just takes everything in stride. So he's like stoked that the show went well, but really just gonna roll with it. The show went well, cool, I'm just gonna roll with that. There were drunks, cool, I'll roll with that. Somebody just tried to kill us, a weird druid. Okay, sure, let's roll with that too. Just kind of where life is taking me right now, man. That's Kestrel.
There's a lot of just roll with it happening.
That's Kestrel.
All right, what about Jebediah? What's Jebediah at?
Dude, he's pretty pissed that druid fucked with the bear, but otherwise, he's chill. This is normal, dude. I was in the menagerie or whatever. That's this shit true. Happens all the time.
Circus that must not be named.
Exactly.
I will, yeah, absolutely. That says a lot about Jeb, actually. Out of all the shit that happened, the only thing he was upset about was the druid fucking with Bardolph.
I mean, that place.
That plays with Jeb, absolutely. What about Moonlight? Where's Moonlight at right now?
I don't know. I mean, Moonlight's kind of confused, kind of surprised by what they did last night. I mean, just the whole thing. Obviously, partly with the fact that they killed the druid, that anger of just thinking about what I went through kind of came over me all at once when she asked who it was that locked me in a box. But then even before that, I mean, just felt a level of confidence grow within themselves as they dealt with the ruffians, the hecklers, and then also the fae. And not to mention waking up feeling, after doing all of those things, waking up and feeling more powerful this morning than they ever have before.
That's an interesting take on that. I like that. Well, how about Savatri? Savatri, where are you at with all this? Myron's dead.
Savatri slept like a fucking baby. I don't know, shit happened yesterday. We killed the thing that fucked with us. She's happy about that. Myron's dead. It's a little depressing. She liked Myron. She likes his wagon. Yeah, moving on.
Well, hey, yesterday was a successful show. Myron's gone. And the circus, as everybody kind of wakes up for the day, everybody's very muted today. All of the people that you would normally, you know, see bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, they're just not right now. What do you guys do first thing in the morning?
Treat wounds.
Hey, Kestrel, you still look hurt from last night. Let me treat some of those wounds.
That'd be fantastic, friend. Are you better at it than me? Probably.
I got a +7.
Mine's a +6. Go for it.
I shouldn't roll tonight. Like, what the fuck? It's two ones in a row.
That means you critically fail.
But we're going to wait an hour.
I'm pretty sure that hurts him.
It does. Yeah.
I think that does 1d8 damage to him.
Yup. Oh, bone-hurting juice right there. Oh, my God.
Wound meets salt.
I don't think that's supposed to be done.
That's max damage to Kestrel.
I don't believe 8. That man's ever been to medical school.
8 out of the 8.
Oh, Kestrel, does that put you under?
No.
Okay, good.
Because we leveled up.
Yeah, because we leveled up. But I'm definitely going to be taking like another hour. So whoever's making breakfast, you know, you take your time. Make me some coffee. It's going to be fine.
I'm going to run to town and sell that hide armor so I can buy some leather armor. Does anybody need anything from town? How far away is town?
It's actually pretty damn close.
Oh, yeah. I just walk into town and I'm going to sell that hide armor. Does anybody need anything?
Nah, we're good.
All right, Savatri, as you're leaving camp, the professor jogs up to you. He's looking pretty lively for a man of his age, but he comes up to you and goes,
Savatri, you're going to town, yes?
Yes, old man, what do you want?
Could you bring some supplies? I have a list. And some of the cut from last night to pick up some of these supplies.
How am I supposed to bring them back? A wagon, or...?
Just put in the orders, we'll have the townsfolk deliver it to us. I think that should work just fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Anything for the circus, old man.
Thank you, Savatri.
And he bows his head to you slightly and awkwardly stands and shifts for a moment, and then turns and walks away, starts walking towards Kestrel.
Hello, Kestrel. How are you this morning?
Oh, still rather sore from the wounds I suffered last night, but on the mend.
I see that. I hope that this doesn't take you out for any future performances or hurt your ego too much.
My ego, I assure you, is impervious.
Would you like me to go get you a tankard from Dalwini?
Have you a healing potion at all?
Do not, unfortunately, no.
Then I think I shall suffice with coffee for this morning. But thank you, Mr. Professor.
Okay, yes, please, thank you. I will definitely make sure to see that they hurry up along at the cooking fire this morning. Moonlight, I must say thank you so much for all that you've done as such so far. You are a very surprising individual. Thank you.
You're welcome, Professor.
And, Jeb?
Yeah?
I would like to ask you a question and a favor, if you would.
Sure thing, mate.
He kind of waves along and follow me.
I'm gonna trot alongside this guy.
He takes you back to near the animal pens on the southern side. There's like that outcropping of rocks that's there. And as you approach, he says,
quietly now, quietly. Just look over there in between the rock outcropping there. Do you see it?
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
That'll be a 8 with a critical failure.
Oh, great. A 1.
Do you see it? Do you see it right over there?
I ain't see shit.
Not at all. Really?
Nah.
Okay. Maybe we'll come back and try this again later then. There's this chicken back here. I don't quite know what it is. It's kind of blending in with the rocks actually right now. I can understand why it's hard to see it. But it looks very wrong for a chicken, and then I just want to know if you know what this animal is.
I just sent Turtle in to give me the goddamn chicken.
Go ahead and give me a perception check for Turtle. We determined that familiars communicate back to their masters using emojis. How?
Just eggplants.
Eggplants everywhere. How does Turtle communicate to Jeb? Can it be done with emojis still? Or?
Nah, dude. I just look at her and then she looks at me and I'm like, I
got you, bae.
It's pretty. It's far too advanced to even explain how it works.
There's no rule set to explain the.
If I explained it, I'd lose my druid powers.
Sorry, but anyway, no, I laughed very hard at that, but I was muted.
That's great. That's great. I like it.
Yeah, but I will give you a check for her. 20.
Turtle looks up at you, and her little tiger brow furrows. You know exactly what she's thinking, and it's that ain't no fucking chicken.
I don't know. I take off my glasses that I don't wear on Jebediah, and I take another look and look closer what she's pinpointing.
The professor leans down and picks up a little pebble, and he goes, "Maybe this will." He throws it out a little further, not like to try to hit it, but just to get its attention. In another direction. It clicks on a rock, and go ahead and give me another perception check.
11.
This is good enough to see this thing at least. It pops its head up, kind of like looks around.
What the absolute fuck is that?
Our new...
That looks close enough to a chicken.
That's our new, it's our new show right there.
What we're looking at here is kind of like a chicken, except for the chicken doesn't have any feathers, okay? Also...
Oh, that's what's wrong with it?
It has teeth as well as the beak. I guess it's... I don't know. Are there, like, red feathers at the top of its head?
No, it's when a turkey has that, like, red flappy thing on its jowls. It's beard. Like that, except it's a spikes, except it's spikes, and it's all over its head. But that's what it looks like.
And in the beard fashion as well.
Yes.
And then it's got a lizard tail and bat wings.
This is a Chigon.
Chigon?
Or a Draken.
It's a horrendous mutated monster is what it is.
It is not that large. It's
a dragonkin chicken.
Dragonkin chicken.
Yeah. But here's the real question. Is it delicious?
I don't know. You'll have to find out. Jeb, now that
tastes like chicken.
Jeb, now that you've gotten a good look at it, why don't you go ahead and give me a nature check?
I don't think that's going to help. What is this roll?
Yes.
9.
Yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea what this thing is. But you know, without a doubt, it's definitely not a chicken. Turtle was right.
I barely saw it. It could be a chicken.
Leave it be. It ain't hurting nobody.
No, I want to talk to it. I mean, like, pet it, not talk to it.
Jeb wants to go pet it.
Does it look aggressive from far away, or is it, like, cowered in a corner? He said it's, like, behind a rock?
Yeah, there's this outcropping of rocks behind the circus camp, and it's just kind of pecking around over there. No, it hasn't bothered anybody yet, but it's freaking out the Kambali family, whose wagon is really close by to it.
All right, this thing ain't getting. I'm going up to the chicken. We're gonna talk. We're gonna hang out.
You want to bring anybody with you?
No. Chimpadiah can handle a chicken.
Thank you for joining us here on the MinMax Podcast. We want to encourage you to check out our website, minmax.com, where you can find links to all sorts of different things like our Discord, where you can come and chat with us and other fans of the MinMax Podcast. You can also find our Patreon, where if you'd like to support us, we would really appreciate that. You can also find information about all of these characters that we're playing, like character sheets, backstories, and art. Join us again next week as we continue The Extinction Curse. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.